Well, good morning again. Thank you, worship team. That was a beautiful and a powerful time of worship this morning. Great to be able to sit on the side and enter in. I enjoy that hugely. Would you grab your Bibles this morning? Your Bible, your laptop, your desktop, your iPad, your tablet, your phone, whatever you use. Would you hold it in the air? And if you agree with me, let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. Zach, can I have you pull the whiteboard over? John chapter 10, the foundation scripture of our series on hearing the voice of the Lord. Want to read just a few verses by the time we're done this? My prayer is that we'll all have this memorized. We won't even need to look it up. It'll be right there. But until we do, let me read. Beginning at verse 1, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never," say never, never. "They will never follow a stranger." Let me say it again. The sheep will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Father, let your word speak powerfully. Well, for the last couple of weeks, the last number of months, we began the Hearing God series back in September, but the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the second half of that foundation scripture in John chapter 10, the whole series on hearing God, and that is recognizing the stranger's voice. There are a few truths that we have been talking about, and I just want to go through them again. Some truths that we have laid as a foundation that we are building on through this series, and I just want to shoot them to you really quick. One of them is this, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that says this: the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sheep in God's fold, they know the voice of the shepherd, they listen to the voice of the shepherd, and they follow the voice of the shepherd. The sons of God are led not by a stranger's voice, but by the Spirit of God. Number two is this: every sheep is led by some voice. Someone or something is leading every person on this planet. The only question is, which voice? The shepherd's voice or the stranger's voice? But there is a voice or voices that are leading every person. The third one is this: God created us, beginning with Adam and Eve, to hear the voice of the Father with clarity and to walk in intimacy with Him. I want to tell you what you already know. That is the heart of the shepherd for every one of His sheep. That's His heart. It was never God's intention that God would speak to a few select people who heard with clarity and then say, "Now you tell everybody else what I've told them." The heart of the Father was that you and I and every person would hear that voice. After the Spirit of God fell at Pentecost, and the Bible says in the book of Joel, before it ever happened, when the Spirit of God is poured out, it is going to be poured out on who? On every man and every woman. The Spirit of God will be poured out on the old and the young. Every believer will be filled with the Spirit of God, and they will be empowered to hear the voice of the shepherd. His heart is that we would hear with the same clarity that Jesus did when he was here on earth, and that is what we are talking about in these days. I got to tell you this morning, as I was preparing this week for what the Lord is going to have me share with you today, the Lord just dropped on me and reminded me, you will all know this. Do you remember that when Jesus was 12 years of age? And I find it interesting that when the Holy Spirit records things in Scripture, that it's for a reason that he records it. At 12 years of age, do you remember that Jesus went with his mom and dad, and by that time he had siblings. They went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And after they had celebrated the Passover and his mom and dad and the family were on the way home, do you remember partway home they began looking around and going, where's Jesus? Do you remember that? And so the Bible says they looked around at the ones they were traveling with oftentimes, and it's like this when you're on holidays with friends, one of your kids goes off and hangs out with them and you don't know where they are, but you know who they're with. And so they began looking around going, well, Jesus must be with them or them, and they checked it out. He wasn't there. The Bible says they went back to Jerusalem 3 days. Took them 3 days to find where Jesus was. Now, I don't know if any of you have misplaced your child for 3 days. Don't raise your hand. But if you have, 3 days is a huge period of time. They found him. They eventually went, and it says this. They found Jesus in the temple court, sitting with the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And it says, everyone was amazed at his understanding and his answers. But when his parents found them, I love this part. Who was it who spoke to Jesus in the temple? Who was a little ticked off with Jesus more than the other? I love this, and I think it's real. It says, when they got there, his mom said to him, his mom looked at him and said, son, why have you treated us this way? We have been looking for you anxiously. How did Jesus respond? And I want you to hear this. 12 years of age. 12 years of age. He looked at his mom and his dad and he said, why were you searching for me? Now, right there, someone considered that to be sassing back. I don't think that was Jesus' heart at all. But he asked the question, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? What he's saying is, you should have known. If you would have inquired, if you would have asked God, he'd have told you, Jesus is in my house. You don't have to search, just go find him. I want you to think about this. 12 years of age, already hearing the voice of his Father. Already he was being led by the Spirit of God. Already there was a clarity inside of him that absolutely amazed people at 12 years of age. That is the heart of the Father for not just Jesus, but for every one of his sheep, filled with his Spirit, spiritual ears to hear his voice, a heart that is led by the voice of the shepherd. I want you to think about this for a second. Can you imagine at 12 years of age if you would have heard with that kind of clarity? How different our lives might have been. I want to tell you today what you already know. All around the globe, there are children less than 12 years of age who are hearing and being led by the Spirit of God with a clarity that amazes people around them. They are prophesying, they are preaching, they are evangelizing, they are praying for the sick, they are casting out demons. The Spirit of God is dropping upon young people who are open, and he is using them to touch and confound the world. For most of us, including me, I didn't have that at 12. And most of you didn't either. And so whenever the Spirit of God gets our attention and wakens us up to the reality that it can happen to us, whether we're 12 or 20 or 50 or 90, the Spirit of God is still moving to bring us to that place of hearing with clarity. As we began talking about identifying the voice of the stranger, I shared with you a concept that the Holy Spirit had given to me. The thought that, and I want you to think, and we're going to go back to this, you'll remember this. This is the thought that the Lord gave me. He said, Colin, can you imagine for a moment if the 1 billion so-called believers or Christians on earth every morning woke up, went to the Father and said, Father, what is it you want me to be about today? And then they listened. And then all day long, they were led by the voice and the Spirit of God, accomplishing whatever it is he wanted them to be about. Can I ask you to think, in one day, if 1 billion believers walked led by the Spirit, how different would our world be? Can I ask you, in one day, if every believer in Canada listened to the voice of the Spirit and walked being led by, how different would our country be in one day? How about our community here? Can you imagine for a moment if every believer led by the Spirit of God, at the end of that day, how different our community would be? The reality is, and we talked about it, not every sheep is led by the voice of the shepherd. Would you agree? And we know that because seasons in my life, and still, God, in your life, still, God, I want to tell you, the design of the enemy is to do whatever he can to have God's sheep be led by a different voice, a stranger's voice. If I was the enemy, I would wake up in the morning and I would go, my goal today is to begin speaking voices into the minds and lives of every one of God's sheep for the possibility that one of them might listen to it and be led astray. I want you to think about this for a moment. I got captured by this as the Lord and I were preparing for today, and I just stopped and the Lord and I were talking. The Lord said to me, Colin, I want you to think of the fruit in the life of one of my sheep who would be led by my voice. I want you to think about the Psalm 23 sheep led by my voice and look at their life. And then I want you to think about the life of a sheep who doesn't hear my voice and follows other voices and look at the fruit of their life. And God began to show me the Grand Canyon between the two. To be led by the voice of the Spirit, he says, is life. It is peace. It is joy. To be led by the stranger's voice, and you and I have been, it's pain. It's brokenness. It's disaster. The heart of the Father is for the sheep to hear the voice and experience the fruit of it. I showed you a few weeks ago, and I want to tell you straight up, this is such an imperfect picture or design, but when the Lord gave it to me, it began to help put things in place. I want you to look at this. If 1 billion people did not hear a stranger's voice, but were led by the Spirit of God 100%, truth is, the only one who does that is Jesus. We battle. But the Lord said this, if there was only one strange voice that we had to battle and we heard the voice of the Father 90% of the time, that would be pretty darn good, wouldn't it? But the design of the enemy is for us to have strangers' voices, and the more voices we have, the more it blocks out the voice of the Spirit. And the ultimate goal is that you and I would not be led by the Spirit of God at all. So we began talking about the stranger's voice, about identifying the stranger's voice. Today, I want us to look at only one. I'm going to share some others with you next week and the week after, but today there is only one. And I want to preface this by saying, let me tell you what I said before. None of these are in order of priority. This is not the strongest voice. Number 10 will not be the weakest voice. We could probably move these around at any time. But I do want to share with you today that I believe the voice I'm going to share with you is one of the more powerful voices that is alive and well, not just in the world, but in the church today. I have prayed much into this message, and I'm trusting God to speak with clarity. Would you write in here, the voice of Mammon? The voice of Mammon. Matthew 6:24. Would you write that down in your notes? Matthew 6:24. You can look it up later. As soon as I say it, you're going to know it. Jesus made this statement. He said, you cannot serve two what? You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. You will despise the one and cherish the other. He goes, you cannot serve two. You will either serve God or you will serve Mammon. We'll talk about that in a second. I want to ask you a question, and I think we've all heard it our whole life. Have you ever heard the statement, money talks? Yeah, we've all heard it, right? Can I ask you, literally, does money talk? No, money doesn't talk. So when we talk about the statement, money talks, and we know that money talks, we see it all over the place, literally, it does not talk. What we're talking about is there is such a thing as a spirit of Mammon that does talk. I just want to throw this out there so you know. Money is not the root of all evil, is it? If it was, God would take all of our money away and go, the greatest temptation in your life will be gone. No, no, money is not the root of all evil. The what of money? The love of money. What he's saying is, you're either going to have a love for God and this will be over here, or there will be a love for money and God will be over here. I will never forget, on one of Jane and my anniversary trips, and you know that after our first anniversary, God laid in my heart that needed to celebrate every one of them. On one of the trips, when I had taken a bunch of books, I had taken one book that was written by Craig Hill and Earl Pitts. You've heard me talk about it before. Would you write down the name of the book, Money, Wealth, and Riches? Money, Wealth, and Riches. If you have never read the book, I want to encourage you to do so. How many of you, by the way, have read that book, Money, Wealth, and Riches? Two of you. I encourage you to pick it up. This church has been powerfully impacted by the ministry of Craig Hill. We've had him here. He has spoken. We've gone to conferences where he has been at. We have run his seminars here. Craig Hill and Earl Pitts joined together in order to write this book, Money, Wealth, and Riches. Virgil and I, a number of years ago, had the opportunity to go to Ontario. We went to Earl Pitts' home and spent an afternoon with him and have now opportunity to talk about the book and talk about some things we as a church were going through. It was an absolutely wonderful afternoon with an incredibly wise man. But as I was reading through this book, I came to the chapter explaining the difference between being led by the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of Mammon. It is at this point I am asking the Holy Spirit to bring clarity to what I'm going to say, because every power of hell wants to make sure you're going to miss this. So I just invite you just to begin to pray even now. Just say, Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Don't let me miss this. As I began to read through that chapter, I got to tell you, there's a few things that happened. The first one was this. As I was reading, it was like the Spirit of God was opening up my mind to understand something that I had never understood in my entire life and ministry and schooling and preparation. I understood something I had never understood before. Do you remember when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples after the resurrection? The Bible says he breathed on them and he opened up their minds. As I was sitting there beside the pool in the hot 106 degree sun, it's like God was opening up my mind and I got something I had never gotten before. The switch went on. The second thing was this. I realized that without ever knowing it, most all of my life, I had been mammon-led. The spirit of mammon had been leading my life, and I didn't even know it. And I want to tell you, I was mammon-led as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, as a spirit-filled Christian, as a pastor. I realized the voice of the spirit of mammon had been speaking more powerfully than the spirit of God most all of my life. The third thing was this. As I was reading through it, I don't know if you've ever had this, I was so compelled to share this with Jane right there by the pool, surrounded by people. I said, Jane, I got to read this to you. I read the entire chapter out loud. I don't know who else heard me. Maybe other people got saved or delivered from mammon. I don't know. But I needed Jane to hear it. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you and your spouse have been on separate pages. For those of you married, I just heard the laugh. I want to tell you one of the great gifts of the Lord is when the Spirit of God brings the two into the same place and you're hearing the same voice, you're believing, you're growing at that same place. The enemy does everything he can to rip that apart. We've all experienced it. I wanted Jane to get it. And so right there, I began reading the entire chapter out, and it was amazing because as I read it, she got it. The Spirit did to her what he did to me. And I'll tell you the fourth thing. Right there, as we were sitting there, right there after we finished reading and talking about it, we prayed, we asked the Lord to forgive us. We took authority over the spirit of mammon and removed it from our lives. We asked the Spirit of God to fill us and every part that mammon had owned and controlled in our life. I want to tell you, that day changed the course of our life. That was a watershed moment in our Christian walk. Let me tell you what hit us in that book. I'm not going to read the entire chapter to you. I'd love to, but I won't. I want to tell you what hit us. There was one statement, a statement that awakened the understanding in this area, and it said this. If when making a decision in your life, you look at money to determine whether or not to do something, you are being led by mammon. Let me say it again. If when making a decision in your life, you look at money to determine whether or not to do something, you are being led by mammon. We realized that we did that all the time. Let me explain. Has it ever happened that you have been hearing about a need that somebody has, or you hear about a project that the church is doing, or you hear about a mission project that is going to happen, and as you're being made aware of it, you are stirred on the inside of you, and you go, oh, I would love to seed into that. Oh, I would love to give into that. Oh, I would love to bless those people. And it just is stirring up inside of you, and then the next thought or the voice that goes through your mind is, how much do I have in the bank? Oh, we have just enough in order to pay all of our stuff for the rest of the month. We don't have any extra to give. And as a result of that thought, you look and go, I would love to. And we say, I'd love to pay that bill for that person. We go, I would love to buy that motorcycle for that pastor in Kenya. And whether we say it out loud or we say it inside of ourselves, we go, I would love to, but I can't. And that's where it ends. A decision is made because we looked at mammon, didn't have it, and it died. I got to tell you what you know. Unfortunately, that just doesn't happen one time in our life. You know what? It happens again and again and again. I would like you to think about sometime how many decisions in your day do you think about money when you make the decision? When we took time to think about it, it was remarkable. Making decisions after decision after decision, whether I have enough money to do it or not. If we have it, we go, we got it, let's buy it, let's give it, we'll do for them. If we don't have it, even though we'd love to, we go, I can't, I won't, we don't, and that's it. That was our life. That was the lives of so many Christians. Non-believers, it's a given. They're not concerned about their love for God and following God and having Him be. They're looking, and the world is led by mammon. We know that. But for those of us who have a heart to serve God, mammon is still a voice that determines most of our decisions. Let me share with you how the Holy Spirit transformed me in this area. I want you to imagine for a moment that in your bank account you have $100,000. For some of you, you're looking and going, wow, I'd love to. For some of you, you're going, I've got 5, 6, 10 times that. And I'll tell you honestly, the truth is it doesn't matter. The spirit of mammon works as powerfully in people who have money as he does in the people who have no money. But I want you to imagine today that in your bank account is $100,000. Every one of you have 100 grand. And you hear about a motorcycle project in Kenya, the opportunity for $1,400 to buy a motorcycle for a pastor in Kenya. It is explained how it changes their life, it changes their ministry, how they plant church after church, the amount of people who get saved when they stop walking and they're mobile with a motorcycle. You hear that. This is the mammon-led response. You would hear a thought that goes, well, we got 100 grand. $1,400? It's not going to break us. It's a good project. I think it might even be a God project. I think seeding into that would build the kingdom of God. We got the money, sweetheart. What do you think? Yeah, that $1,400, no problem. Let's give it. Spirit-led. Listen to this. Remember, again, you have $100,000 in your account. You hear about the project, it is stirring on the inside of you, you turn to the Lord and you say, Father, is this a project you want me to seed into? And you wait. Remember, you have $100,000 in your account. As you're waiting on the Lord, you might ask him and say, God, could you make it really clear? And God says, I will, I want you to be led by me. And as you're waiting, the Lord says to you, no. I don't want you to give. You might ask the question, God, we got 100 grand, why not? You might be at a point where you go, you don't even have to ask, you just go, okay, you said no, I'll trust you, then it's no. Even though the 100 grand is there, even though you could buy how many motorcycles, you heard no, you didn't look here, and you go, the will of the God is not for us to give here. Spirit-led. I want you to look at the contrast. You are listening to a report of a family in your church who is struggling financially. Circumstances have happened. They find themselves at a place where they can't pay some bills. They can't make a mortgage payment. They are struggling. They've made every effort to hide it because nobody wants to lay that out there. You know the family. You know the people. You know the circumstance. And as you are listening and finding out, the Spirit of God is stirring on the inside of you to help this family financially. But in your bank account, you have just enough to pay that month's expenses. No more. There is nothing in your overflow account. Instead of you looking at what you have got, you go to the Lord and you say, Father, I heard this circumstance about this family. Father, are you wanting me to give to this family in need? And you wait and you listen, and the Lord says to you, yes. Then you ask the next crazy question, God, how much? I want you to think about this. Jane and I have experienced this often. When we're waiting on the Lord, we've made it a point where we don't tell each other until we both hear a number from God. I wish I could tell you we had the same number every time. I can't. But I can tell you we've had the same number often. Do you know how exciting that is? So here I am. I've got nothing in my overflow account. I've got just enough to pay everything for the month. God says, yes, I want you to seed into that family. You ask and you say, God, how much do you want? He goes, $10,000. You grab your heart. Mammon-led people go, we don't have it. We're just going to make it to the end of the month. We'd love to give. We'd love to bless them. $10,000 would make a huge difference in their life. We would love to do that, but we don't got it, so we don't do it. Let me tell you, spirit-led. You waited on God. You said, Father, do you want us to seed into this family? God said, yes. You said, how much? God said to you, $10,000. You said, okay. And so we begin to believe for it. We begin to seed for it. We begin to declare by faith what's not yet as though it already were. And we watch as God brings into our life $10,000, whether in one chunk or a whole bunch of little chunks. And as that money comes in, we take that and we bless that family. I will never forget. There are some statements I hear from some teachers that go inside of me like asbestos. I will never forget when I heard Jerry Seville say, when God asks me to do something, he doesn't ask me to pay for it. He asks me to pray for it. I want you to think about this. Of all the things that God could have chose to use in contrast to serving him, when he said you cannot serve two masters, you cannot be led by two voices, you will either be led by one or led by the other, of all the things he could have chosen, why did he choose mammon? Why money? I'll tell you why. Because the spirit of mammon does for people counterfeitly what the spirit of God does for people. Let me tell you, a person who has lots of money and puts their confidence in mammon will have a boldness and a confidence and a strength and a security in the walls of their finances. A person who has got the Spirit of God in them has a security and a boldness and a confidence and a wall that surrounds them that God gives. You look all through Scripture. The reason he chooses mammon, it is the counterfeit that has captured the world and captured most of the church. I got to tell you again, the spirit of mammon has no problem with a non-believer because there is no counter spirit. There is no counter. But the spirit of mammon also seeks to lead the lives of Christian people. And I want to tell you, if you are like Jane and I, Christian, filled with the Spirit, praying about decisions, wanting to do God's will, but letting money make the final decision, led by mammon for years, didn't even know it. I would love to tell you this morning, the Church of Jesus Christ on earth is spirit-led and not mammon-led. I'd love to tell you that. Much of it is not. I would love to tell you that every local congregation in every community is Spirit-led and not mammon-led. Most are not. I would love to tell you that every born-again, Spirit-filled believer is Spirit-led and not mammon-led. Like us, most are not. It is the stranger's voice that leads countless believers. But I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God awakens us to the reality of that voice, that day at the pool, in that heat, the Spirit of God chose to wake us up and changed the voice we were led by. We began to realize that the voice that we were making most of our decisions based on was money. And when we were awakened, we began to run from that voice. I want to tell you, to do this is not natural. The natural is to look at money, to look at the account, to look at it empty or full and make decision based on it. We don't need help doing that. We need the Spirit of God to do the counter. I could tell you story after story in our life. I could tell you story after story in other believers' lives who changed from being mammon-led to Spirit-led. But I want to share one with you really quick in closing. It happened right here in this church. A number of years ago, when we were planning to go on a Kenya trip, the Lord had opened the door to Kenya. A couple of us had gone the first time. When we came back again, we felt led of the Lord to take a team. God had given us a date of when we're going to go, and God gave us the mission that we're going to accomplish there. And so we put the call out and said, would you begin praying whether or not the Lord wants you to be a part of this mission? God will make it clear. He'll lay it on your heart if you're to do that. It won't be laid on your heart if you're not to. We want you to pray about it. As we began praying about it, there was a young lady came to me and she said, Pastor Colin. She said, I've been praying about it and the Lord is telling me and I'm just feeling so led that I'm supposed to go on this trip, but I don't have any money. We don't have any money for this trip. I said to her, I didn't ask if you had money. I asked you to pray about whether the Lord wanted you to go or not go, right? I said, if he wants you to go, we will believe for the funds to come. I said, there are those who hear, they're here in this church, they've got the funds, but God is going to say, no, don't go. Piles of people had the funds, but God said, don't do it. But I said, if God said to you, I want you to go, I will agree with you, we'll believe together that God will bring it in. She said, okay. She said, I'm going to begin believing. And she did. And she came to every planning meeting. She came to the preparation time, not because she had the funds. She had no funds. But she had something better. She had the words of the shepherd who said, go. As time got closer, she still had no funds, but she had faith. As we were coming down to it, there was a person in our church who came up to me. They pulled me aside one Sunday. They said, Pastor Colin, I've been praying about this trip. I am not feeling led to go at all. I just have no peace about it. The Lord is saying not to go. But the Lord told me that I'm supposed to pay for someone's trip. The person said, is there anybody on the team that you have going that has no funds, that needs the funds to go? I smiled, and it was legal to hug them. I cannot tell you, two people, not mammon-led, but Spirit-led, one having the funds and God said no, one having no funds and God said yes. The voice of the mammon was silenced and the voice of the shepherd led two sheep to be blessed. And they could both stand up in this church and tell you about it. Today, as I am sharing this, the Spirit of God is doing to some of you what it did to Jane and I that day. I wish I could say all, but it's some. Over 20 years ago, the light went on. We had a revelation of what voice was leading us in our Christian walk that was not the voice of the shepherd. We were changed that day. You've heard this. We've heard it for years. It's still spoken today. Don't ever talk about money in church. Have you ever heard that? I will never forget when Craig Hill made the statement. He said, "Do you realize that Jesus spoke three times as much about money as he did about salvation?" I went, "No, I didn't realize that." If you're not supposed to speak about money in church, Jesus sinned. Because he spoke about it a lot. And do you know why he did? Because he knew that the voice of mammon would seek to lead the father's sheep and lead them astray. Would you bow with me this morning for a moment? Zach, could I have you come? Before we pray into this area, I just want to say, if there is anybody who is listening today who recognizes there has never been a time in their life where they have made a decision to make Jesus the Lord, to be shepherd of their life, to say, "Jesus, I'm a sheep, but I have not listened to you at all. I've not followed you." And today, as I've spoken, the Spirit of God is wakened inside of you a desire to receive Jesus as your Lord, as your shepherd. If that is you today, I just want to invite you to pray with me. It'll be my words, but it will be your heart. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for rising again from the dead. I believe in my heart that you did rise from the dead, and today I make a decision to confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I invite you now to come into my life, to be Lord, to be Savior, to be the single voice that leads me from this moment on." If you have prayed that prayer, we believe that you are born again into the family of God. We'd love to hear from you. Today, as we have been talking about the stranger's voice of mammon, recognizing the design of the enemy for us to be led in most all areas of our life based on money and whether we have it or not, as compared to being led by the Spirit, whether we have it or not. Today, if the Spirit of God has spoken to you and revealed that the voice of mammon has been powerfully at work in your life, that has been the voice that the majority of the decisions you have made and are making even today have been led by. As Jane and I did that day, when we acknowledged that, we began by repenting, saying, "Father, forgive us." Today, if that's you, just quietly, wherever you are, if you recognize that you have been led by mammon, you have made decision based on money and not based on the voice of the shepherd, I want to invite you right now, between you and the Lord, you begin by repenting. Say, "Father, forgive me. Forgive us." And I want to tell you again, we all assume that it's wealthy people who are led by the spirit of mammon. That's not true. There are countless wealthy people who are led by the Spirit of God, and God sees their faithfulness and is able to bless them more. Often it is the ones who are poor who look and go, "I don't have it. We don't have it. We can't do it." And so instead of believing for it, they give it up. If today that has been you, I just invite you quietly between you and the Lord. Father, forgive me. Forgive us. The Bible says, as a child of God, you and I have been given the authority to use Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we have the ability to speak to any demonic entity and command it, to command it. If you're in that place where you have asked God to forgive you, I want you right now to exercise the authority that God has given you with a spoken word right where you are. And would you just repeat after me, in the name of Jesus, Spirit of Mammon, I command you to release me. Get out of my life and never return again. The Bible says we never cast out without filling up. And so would you say with me, Heavenly Father, I ask you now to take back all the ground that the spirit of Mammon has occupied in my life. I ask you today to be the single voice that leads me in my decision making. I confess, I will no longer look to money. I will look to the voice of the shepherd, and I will be obedient in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask today that you would seal what you have done in the lives of your sheep. For those today who have come, who have recognized the stranger's voice has been alive and well, I thank you today for the power. As we come and ask forgiveness, you break the power of the enemy to use that against us. I thank you today for the authority that you give to speak, and the demon has to obey. And I thank you today that when we ask you to be Lord over areas of our life, you come and you are Lord. I want to ask today, Father, a special grace over husbands and wives represented here and under the sound of my voice. I ask today that there would be an unusual unity that would come. There would be a oneness in the area of decision making. There would be a oneness in the area of finance. There would be a oneness in hearing the shepherd's voice. I declare today that God, you will speak the same numbers into the heart and mind of husbands and wives, and it will be confirmed that it's you. Thank you today for the revelation that we cannot serve two masters. We'll either love the one and despise the other, or hate the one and cherish the other. Today, Father, we say to you, you alone, your voice is the only voice we will follow. I declare to you, as a child of God and the sheep of his fold, the great shepherd has blessed you and he's keeping you. He has caused his face to shine on you, and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and has filled you full of his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing said, amen. Would you bow with me one last time? Father, the heart all down through Scripture that you've had for your children is to bless them. To bless your children, to be a blessing. We understand to be blessed is empowered to prosper. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I release a blessing in the life of every one of your sheep. That you would begin to pour into their lives. You would begin to open up doors for them to be a blessing in the lives of other people when they have and when they have not. I release the blessing, a financial blessing, over every sheep in the powerful, in the beautiful name of Jesus, we declare it. And everybody receiving said, Amen. God bless you today. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.